This evening is in 1 Chronicles chapter 17. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. If you'll turn there with me, and please give careful attention to the reading of God's very word. Now when David lived in his house, David said to Nathan the prophet, "Behold, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent." And Nathan said to David, "Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, it is not you who will build me a house to dwell in. For I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up Israel to this day. But I have gone from tent to tent and from dwelling to dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' And now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, 'I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a name like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall waste them no more as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will subdue all your enemies. Moreover, I declare to you that the Lord will build you a house. When your days are fulfilled to walk with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be to him a father. He shall be to me a son. I will not take my steadfast love from him as I took it from him who was before you, but I will confirm him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words, and in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. Then David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And this was a small thing in your eyes, O God. You have also spoken to your servant's house for a great while to come and have shown me future generations, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you for honoring your servant? For you know your servant. For your servant's sake, O Lord, and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness in making known all these great things. There is none like you, O Lord, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem to be his people, making for yourself a name for great and awesome things, and driving out nations before your people whom you redeemed from Egypt. And you made your people Israel to be your people forever, and you, O Lord, became their God. And now, O Lord, let the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as you have spoken, and your name will be established and magnified forever, saying, 'The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, is Israel's God.' And the house of your servant David will be established before you. For you, my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for him. And therefore your servant has found courage to pray before you. And now, O Lord, you are God, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever before you. For it is you, O Lord, who have blessed and it is blessed forever. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. And let's pray. Father, again, we acknowledge that unless you come and be our teacher, we cannot rightly understand these precious words that you spoke to your servant, King David, thousands of years ago, a little over 3,000 years. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us the rest of Holy Scripture. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us to this time and place. And because of your kindness to us, you give us, as it were, a bird's eye view, overlooking history, understanding and seeing how you brought this promise to fruition in the fullness of time, sending your own Son, the Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray that you would encourage us this night, that, Lord, you would stir us up to love and adore you afresh, that, Lord, you would come and you, Lord Jesus, the greater Son of David, that you would preach your gospel to our hearts. And we make our prayer to you, the one true living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, through the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, after the ark had been brought back to Jerusalem, we see in verse 43 of chapter 16, then all the people departed, each to his house, and David went home to bless his household. And here in chapter 17 now, David is enjoying living in his palace. He's living in a very fine home. And he looks around, and it's just striking to him. He goes, you know, here I am living in a fine palace with cedar paneling, these stones that are cut, and the Ark of the Covenant is in a tent. I really need to do something about that. It just doesn't seem fitting. It doesn't seem proper. And so he declares to Nathan the prophet, behold, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent. And Nathan said to David, do all that is in your heart, for God is with you. You remember the description, God's own description of David. He called David a man after God's own heart. As we saw weeks ago, David was a man just like us in need of a redeemer. David stumbled badly. David showed that, yes, he did belong to the living God, but he still needed a Savior. And that Savior is none other than the one that God now promises in this very passage will be the descendant of David, who will sit upon the throne of David forever. It is an amazing thing. Nathan meant well, I'm sure. David, do all that is in your heart, for God is with you. And just because we have desires that are seemingly to us good and right and true, sometimes the Lord is not pleased with our plans. Over the years, I have been learning that when my plans and God's plans do not fit, I need to quickly get with God's plan, His revealed will. And that is true not only supremely in regard to his revealed will, but sometimes in God's providence, he just shuts doors. He opens and shuts doors for us. But he leads us by his Spirit through his word. And so in those days, scripture was not complete. And we read in verse 3, but that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Nathan is a prophet. And here was the message. And we have read it in verse 4 and following. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, it is not you who will build me a house to dwell in. The Lord reminds David, you may have good intentions, but I've never asked you nor anybody previous to you to build me a house, a permanent dwelling place. I was the one who instructed my people to have the tent. And now we have come to this day. Why have you not built me a house of cedar? Verse 7, now therefore thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a name like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall waste them no more as formerly from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will subdue all your enemies. Moreover, I declare to you that the Lord will build you a house. When your days are fulfilled to walk with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be to him a father. He shall be to me a son, and I will not take my steadfast love from him as I took it from him who was before you. But I will confirm him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever in accordance with all these words and in accordance with all this vision Nathan spoke to David. Now, over in 2 Samuel chapter 7, we have the parallel account that is recorded for us, and it has some additional information. And so if you will turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7. And so we have the same event being recorded for us in verse 1. Now when the king lived in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name like the name of the great ones of the earth, and I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more, and violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever in accordance with all these words and in accordance with all this vision Nathan spoke to David. And this second passage that we're reading, you'll notice just a couple of additional things, and that is that this line of descendants that the Lord refers to here, he says, if commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men. Now, we will not take the time to read the rest of the history of the kings of Israel and Judah. It would take quite some time to do. But just simply to remind you that at first, indeed, there was a king that came from David. His name was Solomon. And then the kingdom was divided because of Solomon's sin. The Lord took 10 of the tribes away from the house of David. But because of this promise that God had made, he did not take the throne completely away from the descendants of David. And you have Solomon, and then you have his son who reigns after him, Jeroboam, and it goes on and on and on through the kings of Judah. They are all descended from David until we get to the end. The northern kingdom ceases to exist. In the 720s, the king of Assyria comes and captures and destroys the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom, ruled by descendants of David, continue to exist until the days of King Zedekiah. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. Here we have the last of the kings of Judah recorded. The last of these descendants of David. And so we read in verse 11 of chapter 36, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. He did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord, the God of Israel. All the officers of the priests and the people likewise were exceedingly unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations. And they polluted the house of the Lord that he had made holy in Jerusalem. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. but they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, until there was no remedy. And therefore he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young men or virgin, old man or aged. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burned the house of God, and broke down the wall of Jerusalem, and burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious vessels. He took into exile in Babylon those who had escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and to his sons until the establishment of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days that it lay desolate, it kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, may the Lord his God be with him. Let him go up. But then if you'll turn with me to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. And here we have a psalm that was written many years after David is king. It looks at the issue of, where's a king of David? Where's a descendant of David? Because even though we're back in the land, even though the temple is being rebuilt, there's no king. There's no king. Where are you, O Lord? And so, Psalm 89, a maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant. I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord, a God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones and awesome above all who are around him? O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are? O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you, you rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You crushed Rahab like a carcass. You scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours, the world and all that is in it. You have founded them, the north and the south. You have created them, Tabor and Hermon. Joyously praise your name. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, high your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exult in your name all the day, and in your righteousness are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor, our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Of old you spoke in a vision to your godly one and said, I have granted help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him, so that my hand shall be established with him. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, "You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his offspring forever, and his throne as the days of the heavens. If his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my rules, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His offspring shall endure forever. His throne, as long as the sun before me, like the moon, it shall be established forever, a faithful witness in the skies. Selah. But now you have cast off and rejected. You are full of wrath against your anointed. You have renounced the covenant with your servant. You have defiled his crown in the dust. You have breached all his walls. You have laid his strongholds in ruins. All who pass by plunder him. He has become the scorn of his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his foes. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have also turned back the edge of his sword. You have not made him stand in battle. You have made his splendor to cease and cast his throne to the ground. You have cut short the days of his youth. You have covered him with shame. Selah. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what vanity you have created all the children of man. What man can live and never see death? Who can deliver his soul from the power of Sheol? Selah. Lord, where is your steadfast love of old, which by your faithfulness you swore to David? Remember, O Lord, how your servants are mocked, and how I bear in my heart the insults of all the many nations with which your enemies mock, O Lord, with which they mock the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. And so that's how this psalm ends. It ends with the psalmist in agony that, God, you promised, and I know you're not going to break your word, but my experience is such that there are no more kings. There's no one left to sit on the throne of David. The line is ended. 100 years go by. 200 years. 300 years. 400 years go by. And no word from the Lord. And then, a voice crying in the wilderness, "Make way for the Lord. He is coming." If you'll turn with me to the New Testament, I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And so, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, when the angel announces the amazing news to Mary. You're going to have a son. And she is of the house of David. We read in Luke chapter 1 in verse 26, in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. When the Lord Jesus began his earthly ministry, it was when he was about 30 years old. And it culminated with him laying down his life and going to a cross. And you remember the week before he went to the cross, he entered into Jerusalem. He would go into the temple in the daytime, and at night he would retreat and go to the Mount of Olives to pray. In Matthew 21, we read, "And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers.' And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant, and they said to him, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes, have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes you have prepared praise?'" Then over in Matthew chapter 22, the Pharisees, when they heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they decided that they would ask him a question. And so in Matthew 22, verse 41, "Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, 'What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?' And they said to him, 'The Son of David.' He said to them, 'How is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet"? If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. And so this question Jesus asked the Pharisees, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" And so the Pharisees knew much about the Old Testament. They had put the pieces together wrongly in a very gross manner, but they knew much about the particular pieces. And this is one of the evidences of their knowledge of particular pieces of the puzzle. The question Jesus posed to them, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? And they said, well, God had promised that Messiah would come from David, that Messiah would be a descendant of David. This very passage that we're looking at in 1 Chronicles 17 and 2 Samuel chapter 7. But then Jesus said, well, how is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord? And the answer to the question, of course, is that yes, Jesus is fully man and fully God in one person. That he is fully man. He was descended from David, and that he is God who has taken on flesh in the virgin's womb. That's how David calls him Lord. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And so Jesus is indeed the one who descended from David according to the flesh. God comes and takes on human flesh. And no, the line of David would surely have died out, left just to man. We cannot save ourselves. David could not save himself. Only God can save. And so we will close this evening looking at Acts chapter 2, where the Apostle Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, reminds his hearers of the fulfillment of these promises in Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 2, we'll pick it up in his sermon in verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it, for David says concerning him. Then we have a quote from Psalm 16. I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. And therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. In other words, Peter is saying, David wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about one of his descendants who would come. Verse 30, being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. And so this promise that God gave to David in response to David saying, Lord, I want to build a house for you. And God says, no, David, you're not going to build a house for me, but I'm going to build a house for you. I'm going to build a household. I'm going to cause one of your descendants to come in the fullness of time, whose kingdom will never end. He will sit upon your throne forever. Yes, there's going to be a series of human descendants leading up to that one, but they are not the Savior. And when you read the history of the kings in 2 Chronicles particularly, that focuses on the kings of Judah, it is striking over and over. You'll find this little phrase that so-and-so was a good king, but then you'll see he stumbles. Or you'll see evil kings, but a recurring refrain is, but the Lord for David's sake left this king intact, or had a descendant of this king reign for David's sake. God remembered his promise that he had made to David. And as we go through the book of 2 Chronicles, those now will jump out to you. But of course, that line ended from the standpoint of kings ruling with King Zedekiah. He was the last. No more kings until the greater son of David appears in history, and his name is Jesus. And so it thrills our heart to think of God's plan, and thinking in terms of two aspects of this plan. First of all, that God has a plan for history, and what a comfort that is. Do you ever get up and you just think, man, what a crazy week this has been, or what a crazy year this has been? Or sometimes we go, life is just crazy. What a comfort it is that God, our God, the God of the Bible, the true and the living God, he has a plan. And that plan includes us by name. The second thing is that plan focuses on, in the fullness of time, God sending his son to purchase redemption. And now this son of David has ascended on high and is seated at the Father's right hand. And he is ruling, guiding history, nail-scarred hands, holding on to us, leading everything to that great day of culmination when he will come again in glory. And so Peter goes on in verse 31. He foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ. Because David was a prophet, God had promised that he would seat one of his descendants on his throne. And David, being a prophet, he understood that this had to do with this king who would reign forever. His kingdom would never come to an end. And indeed, our Lord Jesus, he will reign forever and ever and ever. Our king is the son of David. God is faithful to his promises. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, and being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Well, that was the fulfillment of the promise that God gave to his servant David in 1 Chronicles. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is not in human princes. We can build our lives on God's word. Hallelujah, what a Savior. God's word is faithful. Hallelujah, God is wise and good. He has a plan. And that plan is sure because Jesus reigns. You remember when Lazarus died? Mary and Martha, they ran to meet Jesus in their own time, said the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But, you know, it's been 4 days. It looked like all was lost, didn't it? But Jesus, oh, how we need to remember, he is never late. If the Lord in his good pleasure has us thrown into a fiery furnace or a lion's den or Herod's prison, or if we, like Job, lose all that is dear to us, the Lord Jesus still reigns. And what comfort and what hope we have. A sure confidence to live because the greater Son of David has come and his kingdom will never end. No one is able to pull Jesus off of his throne. A good king, a perfect king, a glorious king who laid down his life for us. He is building his house. And he has made us living stones. What an amazing God. And Jesus is pleased to come and live in our hearts and in our midst. He is at work furthering his gospel. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have recorded for us these precious promises that you gave to your servant David many, many years ago, 3,000 years ago. And in the fullness of time, you brought your son to come from the line of David, and you raised him from the dead and seated him on the throne, and he will reign forever. And so we worship and adore you, O Lord Jesus, and we thank you that we can trust your word, the Bible, that, Lord, your promises will all be yes and amen to us in Christ Jesus. And, Lord, we pray that you would give us comfort as we face many times in our own particular lives, bizarre, heart-wrenching things that we can't understand at the time. Lord, teach us to walk by faith with our eyes fixed on you, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would encourage us. We pray that you would thrill our hearts, that you would bless as we sing praise to you and as we come to your table tonight. We thank you that you have fulfilled these promises. And someday, Lord Jesus, you will come again in glory. And you will purge the universe with fire. And we will enjoy a body and soul reunited to be with you in your very presence forever and ever. Lord, you promised to wipe the tears from our eyes and to welcome us into a place where there's no more sickness or sorrow or crying or pain or brokenness. And it's all because you have given your son to be not only a God who comes to save us, but a substitute who is one of us to lay down his life. And we love and adore you in Jesus' name, O Son of David. Amen.